knowing that there's something else out there. That can mean a lot of things, you know? It really can. It doesn't necessarily even have to mean anything paranormal. But that is what we talk about on this program. I think sometimes the first moments you have those realizations, it can be quite an eye-opener, especially if you are accepting of it. When a young person discovers that their family is clairvoyant, has sensitivity, and that they, in fact, are sensitive too, that's a wake-up moment. That's a like, oh my goodness. It's quite an epiphany that one may have when you have that. Being out in nature, at peace with things, and then seeing something off in the distance in the woods that you can't explain. A ghost horse, perhaps. Another moment that one would go, what on earth? Yeah. Well, those are two stories that we have on today's episode for you. One about a family that's followed around, or they follow around spirits. It's hard to say which is, you know, the chicken before the egg with it. Some of the spirits good, some not so good. And then the ghost of a horse. It's not wildfire, but it might as well be. White horse, off in the distance, often in fog, often in stormy weather, is seen by one man for decades. It's quite a story. If you love horses, you're going to love that story. Those stories today on EPP Bonus episode number 367 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. When a family has sensitivity, a lot of times it is just that. It's a family. It runs in the family. The parents have it. Usually at least some of the kids have it. And if you can trace it back even further, if people talked about those sort of things, it goes back and back and back. And you'd be surprised just how much that that runs in a bloodline, in the DNA of individuals. Now, you can't choose your DNA. You get what you get. And you don't throw a fit. That was a line I always used to hear one of my children's, kindergarten teacher say. But you really have no choice when it comes to that. If you have the ability, how do you deal with it? You just got to kind of find a way. It's almost like really good eyesight or really bad hearing or whatever other sense you want to talk about that most of us are more accustomed to talking about, whether it's overly sensitive, really good, or it's not, and you kind of got to compensate. And I think sometimes people who have that ability, that clairvoyance, that sensitivity, that can be a hard one. That can be a hard one to kind of wrap your mind around and figure out, well, how exactly do I make this work and not be looked at as crazy while interacting with the rest of the world? In our next story, a family has that sensitivity, and they're followed by spirits, or maybe they follow the spirits. I know. Chicken before the egg. But they're going all different places. Some good, not so. Some are not so good. And this is the story of how they understand and deal with them. Take a listen. Hey guys, I'm Logan from Wales in the UK, and I've been listening to your podcast for about a year now, and I love what you do. I thought I'd share some of my experiences. After listening to so many of your podcasts, it inspired me to share them. I'd like to start off by saying I come from a bloodline of mediums. Both my parents are clairvoyants, and I am a clairsentient. So I've grown up learning about spirits, about mediums, etc. My dad's told me countless stories about his experiences and things they've seen, and he ended up helping with a police investigation one time after being visited by a spirit relentlessly asking for his help, but maybe I'll tell you about that another time. The first experience I remember of having contact with something supernatural was when I was about 6. One night I woke up in the middle of the night needing the bathroom. But this time I shared a bedroom with my younger brother, and his bed was next to the door to our bathroom. So as I slowly walked past him to try to leave room to go out to the bathroom, I thought I saw him move out of the corner of my eye. So I froze, turned to look at him, in case I woke him up. It was when I stood looking at him that something poked me hard in the back, to which I whipped around to look, but behind me was just the wall of our room connected to the door. I was frozen in fear and confusion and stood staring at the wall for a few seconds before my brain kicked back into gear. Out of fear, I ran straight back to my bed and dove under the covers, hiding until I fell asleep. In this house, I also remember more experiences that the whole family had of disappearing or moving objects. I used to play with my dolls, and my autistic self used to enjoy organizing their clothes, shoes, and accessories out on the floor neatly in the back room. Very often I'd do this and must leave the room for something and come back to missing items. My family were all in the front room, so it couldn't have been them. I'd get upset and spend days looking for these items, but most of them, and most of the time, they were never recovered. The next one after this, I remember, was after we moved from our house into a flat where I had my own room and was old now, about 8. I had a loft bed, which is basically a bunk bed without the bottom bunk. I had a Roxanne doll, which was still new, and it used to sit on the edge of my bed, and sometimes I thought I saw it move, but that could have been an active imagination. The most definite thing I know happened was one night I was sitting on my bed and on the floor for various toys and dress-up items. Out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw something move, so I looked at it, watched for some seconds, and nothing happened. Then it moved. A pirate's eye patch from the dress-up set moved across the floor, and I watched, shocked, unable to comprehend what was happening. It was only after some more seconds of no movement that it moved again, to which I started calling to my parents. My dad came in asking what was wrong, to which I told him that the item had moved, and he turned the lights on and looked around, saying it was probably rats. Probably, as to not scare me. Then, when he found nothing, he told me there was nothing in there and to go back to sleep. I eventually fell back asleep, watching the eye patch, waiting for it to move again, but it did not. Another thing that happened in this flat was the whole family were repeatedly awoken to the sound of a horse walking up and down the corridor of the flat over the years of us living there. But it was only when I was much older I found out what that was. My mother told me one day that her spirit guide is Native American, who rides a horse, to which I asked if that was what woke us up repeatedly while living in the flat, to which she confirmed. After some years in the flat, we moved to a new house, but I kept my loft bed. It was about 12 when we moved into this house, and that's when things started becoming more solid and frequent with the personal spirit activity to myself. Sometimes my bed would feel like it was being shaken while I was trying to sleep. I began to be poked and touched more by people who weren't there, and I began to hear people say my name, but when I asked my family if they had called me, they said they hadn't. It was around this age I began confiding in my parents about what was going on and when I started learning more about spirits and things like that. My mother told me that she had an uncle who was mischievous and liked to poke the little girls around him and pull their hair and act like it wasn't him in a playful manner, and suggested it was just him playing with me, which I just accepted. In this house, I began to develop my clairsentience as well. I began to feel presences that weren't seen. I could even eventually see a particular spirit in my mind's eye, an elderly woman who resided in my brother's small bedroom. I think she's probably used to living here, as this house used to belong to an elderly couple before we moved in. I also began to see small shadows dart around the living room floor in the corner of my eye, which I considered to maybe be a ghost pet. While cleaning up the overrun garden in the early stages, we found some animal bones which supported that an animal had possibly lived and died here. I also began to have deja vu dreams, only snippets of things like something in life I'd see or a conversation I'd have and forget about it when I woke up. It's not until weeks or months later when the thing happened, only a second or so of things I dreamt, where I get a really strong sense of deja vu and realize I previously dreamt it and be amazed. It hasn't been anything significant so far, but still interesting and quite amazing to me. This was also the first house I'd ever not liked being in the dark in, as I can sense things there and don't like that they could be where I can't see them. For example, for some strange reason, when I turn off the bathroom light while exiting, I get this mad, irrational fear and feeling that there's something behind me in the dark and I must get out and shut the door as fast as I can before it goes away. I don't know if this is my sense or just some fear. Also, in my room, I always sense two figures. I can see in my mind's eye two human outlines. And that's where we're going to pause the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you would like access to all of our episodes, including the rest of this one, and get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, the advanced episodes, the archive, all of it, you get access to quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, then hey, sign up to be an EPP, an extra podcast person. Do it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of it. And you help keep us on the air at the same time. We greatly appreciate that. You get to hear that story, too, of the ghost horse in this episode, which is an amazing story. I mean, if you love horses, you do not want to miss it. The ghost horse haunting this patch of land, seen by one man and several of his friends for literally decades. If you're hearing wildfire in the back of your mind, I trust me, I get it. Get it all. Sign up, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories, and help keep our show on the air.